And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. More from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Well, of course, a busy international news weekend across the entire world as the United States, Saturday evening, officially entering the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. It was between Israel and Iran over the last couple of weeks, but as we learned from President Trump in an address to the nation around 10 p.m. Saturday night, the United States dropped 6 bunker buster bombs on Iran's Fordow nuclear enrichment plant Saturday night. They also hit two other key strategic sites, with the president talking about and discussing the idea that those facilities were either completely or totally obliterated. You don't need to hear it from me. We'll listen directly to what the president had to say to the nation Saturday evening. Here's President Trump.
A short time ago, the U.S. military carried out massive precision strikes on the 3 key nuclear facilities in the Iranian regime: Fordow, Natanz, and Esfahan. Everybody heard those names for years as they built this horribly destructive enterprise. Our objective was the destruction of Iran's nuclear enrichment capacity and a stop to the nuclear threat posed by the world's number one state sponsor of terror. Tonight, I can report to the world that the strikes were a spectacular military success. Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated. Iran, the bully of the Middle East, must now make peace. If they do not, future attacks will be far greater and a lot easier.
Now, I'm going to stop the president right there. We'll continue with his commentary in just a second. But it's pretty amazing that everything that has gone on, I'll get into my thoughts. I'd love to get your thoughts in here as well, watching live this morning, either on YouTube, Rumble, or X, or you can text into the show this morning as well on our text line, 910-377-6425, if you've got some comments you want to get on the airways. But with everything that has gone on, President Trump, you know, there's all this discussion of he's, you know, this unabashed ruler, this authoritarian, this dictator. All things considered, everything that you've watched over the last week and a half or so, even Saturday night, after 3 decisive facilities were targeted by the United States in a pretty unbelievable military operation that we'll hear about in a little bit, he's still calling for peace. There is nobody that can make the argument. There is nobody that can make the point that President Donald Trump is not hell-bent and set on getting Iran and the Ayatollah or whoever, whatever delegation the Supreme Leader of Iran wants to send to the negotiating table and figure out a path forward for Iran, the rest of the Middle East, and the rest of the world going forward. It is remarkable that with all of that, he is still pushing for peace and is still giving the Iranian leadership the opportunity to come to the table and figure out how to negotiate a deal and how to make what the president and many others claim the world a safer place without that country enriching uranium to eventually pack it onto some sort of ballistic missile or some other sort of payload and launch it God knows where. More from President Trump.
For 40 years, Iran has been saying death to America, death to Israel. They have been killing our people, blowing off their arms, blowing off their legs with roadside bombs. That was their specialty. We lost over 1,000 people, and hundreds of thousands throughout the Middle East and around the world have died as a direct result of their hate. In particular, so many were killed by their general, Qasem Soleimani. I decided a long time ago that I would not let this happen. It will not continue. I want to thank and congratulate Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu. We worked as a team like perhaps no team has ever worked before. and we've gone a long way to erasing this horrible threat to Israel. I want to thank the Israeli military for the wonderful job they've done. And most importantly, I want to congratulate the great American patriots who flew those magnificent machines tonight, and all of the United States military on an operation the likes of which the world has not seen in many, many decades. Hopefully, we will no longer need their services in this capacity. I hope that's so. I also want to congratulate the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Rosenkane, spectacular general, and all of the brilliant military minds involved in this attack. With all of that being said, this cannot continue. There will be either peace or there will be tragedy for Iran far greater than we have witnessed over the last 8 days. Remember, there are many targets left. Tonight's was the most difficult of them all, by far, and perhaps the most lethal. But if peace does not come quickly, we will go after those other targets with precision, speed, and skill. Most of them can be taken out in a matter of minutes. There's no military in the world that could have done what we did tonight, not even close. There has never been a military that could do what took place just a little while ago. Tomorrow, General Kane, Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth will have a press conference at 8 a.m. at the Pentagon. And I want to just thank everybody, and in particular, God. I want to just say we love you, God, and we love our great military. Protect them. God bless the Middle East. God bless Israel. And God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So that's the president Saturday night. I believe kind of the first announcement, first discussion of this came in between 7 and 8 o'clock Eastern. The president posting on Truth Social that, in fact, he had ordered strategic military strikes on those three nuclear facilities in Iran. This, of course, comes after we learned in the middle or latter parts of last week that President Trump had said, hey, within the next 2 weeks or so, by July 4th, I will decide whether or not I'm going to get involved in that conflict. And I'll have my thoughts on everything that has unfolded coming up here in just a little bit. Want to get through all of these clips and kind of breaking down exactly what went on. Regardless of what you think of the situation, and again, I'd love to get your feedback this morning, whether that's on our live chat on YouTube, Rumble, or X, or you can text into the show this morning at 910-377-6425. That's 910-377-6425. A pretty unbelievable military operation taking place. The Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, did have that 8 a.m. press conference yesterday morning. This is how he opened his comments.
Last night, on President Trump's orders, U.S. Central Command conducted a precision strike in the middle of the night against three nuclear facilities in Iran: Fordow, Natanz, and Esfahan, in order to destroy or severely degrade Iran's nuclear program. And as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs will demonstrate, it was an incredible and overwhelming success. The order we received from our commander-in-chief was focused, it was powerful, and it was clear. We devastated the Iranian nuclear program. But it's worth noting the operation did not target Iranian troops or the Iranian people.
And, you know, with that right there, you've got the commentary that this was a very strategic strike, that this was not some all-out, blown-out war, which we'll get into in a little bit, but a very strategic strike, particularly on the Fordow nuclear enrichment facility, which pretty amazingly was buried about 300 feet underground, which is why the United States was the only military in the world, at least as of right now, that has the ability to drop one of these MOPs, is what they're called, these massive ordnance penetrating bombs from bombers that essentially root themselves into the ground and then explode because that facility is so deep. Secretary Hegseth claimed that many wanted to do this, but it was actually President Trump that was able to pull it off.
Thanks to President Trump's bold and visionary leadership and his commitment to peace through strength, Iran's nuclear ambitions have been obliterated. Many presidents have dreamed of delivering the final blow to Iran's nuclear program, and none could. until President Trump. The operation President Trump planned was bold and it was brilliant, showing the world that American deterrence is back. When this president speaks, the world should listen. And the U.S. military, we can back it up. The most powerful military the world has ever known. No other country on planet Earth could have conducted the operation that the chairman is going to outline this morning. Not even close. Just like Soleimani found out in the first term, Iran found out when POTUS says 60 days that he seeks peace and negotiation, he means 60 days of peace and negotiation. Otherwise, that nuclear program, that nuclear capability will not exist. He meant it. This is not the previous administration. The President
Thank God.
Said no nukes. He seeks peace, and Iran should take that path. He sent out a truth last night saying this: any retaliation by Iran against the United States of America will be met with force far greater than what was witnessed tonight. Signed, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Iran would be smart to heed those words. He's said it before, and he means it.
You know, the whole situation is rather interesting. President Trump gave the Iranian leadership, the Iranian government, Tehran, 60 days to come to the table, 60 days to come to some sort of agreement. And of course, some of the argument this morning is, oh, well, the Iranians say that they need the nuclear program so that they can build power plants, so they can provide power to their citizens. That is not what is going on. You don't build a facility 300 feet underground to enrich uranium to build a power plant. You build a facility 300 feet underground when you're enriching uranium to put onto some sort of payload to launch a nuclear weapon, right? That's clearly the attempt. I don't know that anybody would make an argument other than that. And anybody that says that to the contrary or tries to play out that this is not what's happening in Iran is just foolish. They're either lying to themselves or they're just woefully uneducated in the situation that's unfolding. Now, there has been serious discussion, and I think rightfully so, over at what level were these Iranian facilities. We talked about it last week. There's been reports since the mid-1990s that the Iranian government was just years away from spinning their centrifuges to a position in which the uranium was enriched enough that they could in fact use it for a nuclear weapon. Now, over the last 10 years or so, you saw it under previous presidents, Barack Obama, first Trump term, constant discussions about how, well, they're close. I don't know that anybody knows. Mossad, you know, with all their great intelligence, claims that it's just weeks away. I don't know. I don't put any stock in what's coming out of the Israeli spying agency over there. I don't know that U.S. intelligence has any better details on it either, because it's been said for 30 years that they're very close to this ability to enrich uranium to the point where they could load it into some sort of Tomahawk missile or some other sort of ballistic missile and launch it anywhere in the Middle East and potentially some of our European allies as well. But the strike itself, pretty remarkable that nobody knew about it. And you'll hear coming up here from Dan, or his official name is John Raisin Kane, who is the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He documented in pretty amazing detail yesterday morning how exactly this strike went down. Listen to this. It's a little bit of a long clip. It's about 6 minutes or so. It didn't necessarily get as much play, little clips of making it online. To listen to what they did and how they went about this is rather remarkable. Here's the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Last night, on the President's orders, U.S. Central Command, under the command of General Eric Kurilla, executed Operation Midnight Hammer, a deliberate and precise strike against three Iranian nuclear facilities. This was a complex and high-risk mission carried out with exceptional skill and discipline by our joint force. I want to thank every service member, planner, operator that made this mission possible. Their actions reflect the highest standards of the United States Armed Forces. This operation was designed to severely degrade Iran's nuclear weapons infrastructure. It was planned and executed across multiple domains and theaters with coordination that reflects our ability to project power globally with speed and precision at the time and place of our nation's choosing. This was a highly classified mission with very few people in Washington knowing the timing or nature of this plan. I'll refer you to the graphic on the side as I walk you through some of the operational details. At midnight Friday into Saturday morning, a large B-2 strike package comprised of bombers launched from the continental United States. As part of the plan to maintain tactical surprise, part of the package proceeded to the west and into the Pacific as a decoy, a deception effort known only to an extremely small number of planners and key leaders here in Washington and in Tampa. The main strike package comprised of 7 B-2 Spirit bombers, each with 2 crew members, proceeded quietly to the east with minimal communications. Throughout the 18-hour flight into the target area, the aircraft completed multiple in-flight refuelings. Once over land, the B-2s linked up with escort and support aircraft in a complex, tightly timed maneuver requiring exact synchronization across multiple platforms in a narrow piece of airspace, all done with minimal communications. This type of integration is exactly what our joint force does better than anyone else in the world. At approximately 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time last night, and just prior to the strike package entering Iran, a U.S. submarine in the Central Command Area of Responsibility launched more than 24 Tomahawk land attack cruise missiles against key surface infrastructure targets at Esfahan. As the Operation Midnight Hammer strike package entered Iranian airspace, the U.S. employed several deception tactics, including decoys, as the 4th and 5th generation aircraft pushed out in front of the strike package at high altitude and high speed, sweeping in front of the package for enemy fighters and surface-to-air missile threats. The strike package was supported by U.S. Strategic Command, U.S. Transportation Command, U.S. Cyber Command, U.S. Space Command, U.S. Space Force, and U.S. European Command. As the strike package approached Fordo and Natanz, the U.S. protection package employed high-speed suppression weapons to ensure safe passage of the strike package, with fighter assets employing preemptive suppressing fires against any potential Iranian surface-to-air threats. We are currently unaware of any shots fired at the U.S. strike package on the way in. At approximately 6:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2:10 a.m. Iran time, the lead B-2 dropped 2 GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrator weapons on the first of several aim points at Fordo. As the president stated last night, the remaining bombers then hit their targets as well, with a total of 14 MOPs dropped against 2 nuclear target areas. All 3 Iranian nuclear infrastructure targets were struck between 6:40 p.m. and 7:05 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, that's about 2:10 in the morning local time in Iran, with the Tomahawk missiles being the last to strike at Esfahan to ensure we retain the element of surprise throughout the operation. Following weapons release, the Midnight Hammer strike package exited Iranian airspace and the package began its return home. We are unaware of any shots fired at the package on the way out. Iran's fighters did not fly, and it appears that Iran's surface-to-air missile systems did not see us. Throughout the mission, we retained the element of surprise. In total, U.S. forces employed approximately 75 precision-guided weapons during this operation. This included, as the president stated last night, 14 30,000-pound GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrators, marking the first ever operational use of this weapon. I know that battle damage is of great interest. Final battle damage will take some time, but initial battle damage assessments indicate that all three sites sustained extremely severe damage and destruction.
So that's Dan Kane, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, going over the military execution of the events that unfolded Saturday night. And regardless of whether you think Trump should have or should not have done this, from a pure strategic military standpoint, again, we'll get into everything else in a little bit, but from a pure military standpoint, from all accounts, what you heard from the president, what you heard from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, what you just heard there from Dan Kane, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a complete and utter success. You had planes that flew west, as were described as decoys. You had other planes that flew east. In total, these bombers flew for 30-some-odd straight hours. They left Missouri, which is where they're located, flew all the way over to the Middle East, refueled multiple times, conducted the operation, from what we've been told so far this morning, a very successful operation, then immediately left the Iranian airspace and headed back to the United States, refueling again, never at any point landing or touching the ground anywhere in the Middle East, leaving, taking off in the United States, and once again landing in the United States. As the Joint Chiefs noted, not a single shot, no Iranian fighters, no Iranian missiles or any sort of missile defense technology ever detected the United States. We were in and out. And from a military standpoint, this is it's a remarkable effort, a remarkable plan. And honestly, I'm genuinely surprised that we didn't know about this before it happened. Right? Washington, D.C. needs a lot more plumbers. Why is that the case? Well, because everything leaks in D.C. I mean, you can't have the president go to the bathroom without some reporter or somebody inside the White House reporting it anonymously to one of the mainstream media outlets throughout the United States. There are so many leaks out of Washington, D.C., and it is quite remarkable that this operation was able to unfold in its very successful manner, at least from a strategic standpoint, without anybody knowing about it. Now, of course, you've heard the reaction. You saw some of the commentary yesterday of Democrats dismayed, Democrats unbelievably blindsided by this situation, so upset and so frustrated that they were not told that this was going to happen, that they were not told that this military operation was going to take place. Some comments coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. Democrats screaming that they should have known and voted on it. They would have been the first to instantly run to fake news CNN and tell all. Oh, exactly. There's a good reason why the vast majority of Congress did not know before this happened. And we'll get into some of the discussion on the constitutionality of this. You've got idiots like Thomas Massie out this morning and out yesterday saying that what the president did was unconstitutional. I mean, just ridiculous. I don't even know, placating. I don't know what Thomas Massie's deal is. I expect it from the Democrats, right? I expect it from them. No issues when Barack Obama was firing and bombing countries throughout the Middle East. And there shouldn't have been an issue when Trump did it, right? Regardless of whether you support the president or not, whether it's Joe Biden, Barack Obama, President Donald Trump, or it's regardless of the president, it is very clear and obvious, very clear and obvious, that the commander-in-chief, who in fact is the president of the United States, has the authority to carry out strategic military operations. And anybody that argues otherwise is a partisan hack. Anybody that claims otherwise is just trying to score political points. They're not an intelligent person. They're not somebody that is leading from some moral high ground. They're frankly, they're full of shit is what they are. Presidents throughout history have conducted key military strikes without a declaration of war from Congress. The United States has been involved in hundreds of international conflicts over our history, and a declaration of war has only been issued a handful of times. Presidents have done this. Now, you can say that presidents shouldn't do that. That's fine. You can argue that presidents should have to get approval from Congress to do that. That's a fine stance. But looking at precedent, looking at George Bush, Barack Obama, now President Trump, the precedent is very clear and obvious that military strikes, specifically those that are very strategic in nature, as you heard from Secretary Hegseth, civilians weren't targeted, cities weren't targeted, you know, hospitals weren't targeted. This was targeted at three key nuclear enrichment facilities across the country of Iran. So with all of that said, I am struggling to wrap my head around any situation in which the president had some obligation to go to Congress before this took place. Congress was, in fact, informed after it was said and done, after United States bombers, after members of our military, individuals who have signed on the dotted line to put their lives at risk for my freedom, for your freedom, for the freedom of these cowards in Washington, D.C., after they were already out of Iranian airspace and on their way back to the United States. That's when Congress was notified, and I'm glad that's when they were notified. Can you imagine a situation in which Democrat members of Congress find out about this privately, leak it to the media, and give the Ayatollah, give the Iranian military, whatever's left of it, the Iranian Air Force, gives them a heads up that the United States is about to conduct operations? You talk about putting armed service members in harm's way. That's how you do it. The precedent is very clear. It is very obvious in the United States Constitution that the president does not have to get congressional approval or a blessing from Congress to go forward with these operations. Thomas Massie, Jim Kelly, and the rest of these clowns on television yesterday and the rest of these individuals on social media claiming the otherwise are just, they're foolish. They're morons. They're idiots. They have no idea what's going on. Now, they probably do know what's going on. They're just trying to play up to their base. But that, of course, is incredibly troubling and problematic. But again, we're talking about the left, so not necessarily surprised or shocked there. So that's the setup. That's everything that we are aware of that took place with these strikes. We'll get into some of the other details on this, get into some of my thoughts, some of your thoughts as well, as you continue with us live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, also streaming live on those platforms this morning. Before we get into any of those details, I do want to tell you about the law group here in Wilmington. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the law group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Great news, they're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support and allowing us to provide you all of this coverage here this morning. Again, visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. More on a busy international news weekend, the United States officially striking Iranian nuclear sites Saturday night. We'll get your commentary coming up live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Monday morning to you. Thanks for sticking with us here on the Nick Craig Show as we recap a busy international news weekend as the United States attacks three major Iranian nuclear facilities Saturday night here in the United States, early Sunday morning over in portions of the Middle East. So let me start off with kind of where I fall on all of this. Love to get your feedback as well. You can text us this morning at 910-377-6425. That's 910-377-6425, or drop a line in one of our live chats this morning. This is kind of where I fall. I don't want Iran to have nukes. I don't want that. I don't think that's good. I don't think that makes the world a safer place. I don't think that makes the world a better place. But at the same time, I also don't necessarily trust the United States to not get into another forever war. And that's kind of where I stand this morning. Now, honestly, I'm kind of in the middle of everything. I don't want the Ayatollah, who chants death to America, death to Israel, I don't want them to have the ability to spin centrifuges to the point in which they are able to arm a Tomahawk or some sort of ballistic missile and fire a nuclear weapon. I don't want that. And at the same time, I also do not want the United States dragged into another 10, 15, 20 year international conflict somewhere in the Middle East. And genuinely, I do not trust the United States to not get involved. Now, I trust President Trump, at least to some extent, but I don't trust that necessarily everybody else in the military-industrial complex. I sure as hell don't trust people like Lindsey Graham, who have been clamoring for war with Iran for a decade plus now. That's where I am struggling and kind of straddling the line this morning. If what you saw Saturday night, what we all witnessed, what we all heard about and what was relayed to the American people is where things stopped and started with this situation, then I'm good. We strategically struck nuclear facilities. President Trump, I didn't pull the clip, but Secretary Hegseth mentioned in his press conference yesterday morning that the president has in fact been very clear that he does not want the Iranian military to have access to nuclear, or the Iranian government, Tehran, to have access to enriched uranium. He has been very consistent on that, the same way he's been very consistent on things like tariffs, right? Like or hate the policy, irrelevant. He's been consistent on it. But again, I do not trust that the United States will not get pulled into another international conflict. And that's where I'm at, and that's where I'm struggling this morning. So let's go, let's kind of take this piece by piece. Did the president have the right to react? Did the president have the authority to conduct these nuclear or these strategic strikes on these nuclear targets? The question is unequivocally, without a doubt, yes. There is no argument to the contrary. And when you've got individuals like Thomas Massie, who is going out on social media and describing a situation and saying blatantly, this is what Tom Massie posted on his X account Saturday night, that this is not constitutional. Thomas Massie is a complete jackass. There's no other way around it. This guy is against everything that happens in government. He is the most inefficient and most the most useless lawmaker in Washington, D.C. He is against the Republicans on everything. He is against the Democrats on everything. He's against Trump on everything. He's a do-nothing. And he comes from this moral high ground of he's truly the one that's America first. He's truly the one that's fighting for the United States. You can't fight for the United States when you oppose everything that the Republicans do. You can't be for the United States. You can't be in support of the president when you actively advocate against every single thing that he supports. And that's where Thomas Massie is this morning. And unfortunately, that's where Thomas Massie has been through the vast majority of Trump's second term. He's against everything that Trump does. The president absolutely had the authority to do this. The Constitution very clearly states that the president is allowed to conduct these strikes as the commander in chief. He's not declaring war on Iran. I'll get to some of those clips coming up from the Sunday shows. War is not being declared. There is not a individual, the president is not calling on Congress to draft articles of war to approve. None of that is happening. These were strategic strikes on facilities within Iran. Again, regardless of whether you think it was a good idea or a bad idea, that's what they were. And there's no doubt in my mind that it did not require congressional approval. And the individuals claiming this morning that it did, and going on mainstream media, going on television and claiming that they needed to know, that they needed to be informed that this was taking place, they're just fools. I mean, I saw clip after clip yesterday, I'm not going to bore you with it, of Democrats on ABC News and CBS and CNN claiming, oh my God, President Trump needed to ask Congress for approval. He needed to inform us that this was taking place. It's just not true. Obama did this without congressional approval. I don't remember Democrats being dismayed when that happened. Trump is doing it now, and it should be the same situation. You know, I'm sure that there are going to be Democrats that are going to try and draft articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump for doing this. And those people are just fools. They're trying to score political points on something that is just a last-ditch effort and is honestly a weak attempt to try and dissuade the American people from the issue at hand. What we should be talking about is, was this a good idea for America? What we should be talking about is, was this smart for the United States? Not whether this was unconstitutional or not, because the evidence is very clear and obvious that it wasn't. The evidence is very clear that Congress was not required to be notified before this happened. And so that's the situation, at least from the congressional approval or constitutional side that I see. I have not seen any constitutional attorney, any legal expert that is worth anything coming out and saying, oh yeah, Thomas Massie and the Democrats are onto something here. We needed to be notified and we needed to give approval. I have not seen anybody besides talking heads and Democrats and, of course, Thomas Massie making that point. No, nobody that actually knows the law is making that point this morning. So the president absolutely had the right to strike. So now I want to transition into whether this was a good idea or not. And before I can get into that, this is the question that is kind of burning in my mind this morning. This is one of the things that I am struggling to wrap my head around and get an answer to. And I wrote it down because I wanted to make sure I articulated it correctly. What was Israel's original plan? Back almost 2 weeks ago now, they decided that they were going to conduct massive military operations against Iran. They decided that they were going to start conducting military operations, firing missiles, getting planes up in the air, and trying to destroy some of the Iranian nuclear facilities that were above ground that they had access to. They were going to go after Iran's ability to launch surface-to-air missiles, go after some of their other military, some of their other strategic military targets. What was Israel's original plan? If their plan was to completely destroy the Iranian nuclear program, as we've discussed this morning, if that was the case, and they knew that they couldn't do that without the United States' support, that they knew they did not have these MOPs, these massive penetrating ordnance devices, then what was their original plan? Was the whole time to pull the United States into this conflict? Because if that's the case, then I have a serious problem with that. forcing the United States into an international conflict as our so-called greatest ally in the Middle East really rubs me the wrong way, and it should rub you the wrong way. Now, if all of this was discussed and choreographed behind the scenes, President Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu were running the same page on this. Behind the scenes, they were in full agreement, and publicly, the president was kind of pushing a different message, then my concerns kind of evaporate. But if not, if in fact our ally in the Middle East started this conflict with Iran knowing damn well they couldn't finish the job and knew that they would have to pull the United States into the conflict, that very much concerns me. Again, do I want the Ayatollah to have the ability to enrich uranium and load it onto a nuclear warhead? No, I do not. But at the same time, I also don't want the United States essentially to be forced into international conflict. You know, you don't have to be an isolationist. That term, of course, has been going around a lot over the last week and a half or so. I'm not an isolationist, but I'm also not somebody that wants the United States dragged into conflicts that do not immediately affect us. Is there the potential for Iranian nuclear weapons to affect the United States? Yes, absolutely. But it is a far greater threat to the Middle East, where we've got many more allies than Israel. We've got Saudi Arabia, we've got the UAE, we've got other countries throughout the Middle East that have militaries that, of course, we fund. But they've got militaries, they've got strategic capabilities. We've got allies throughout the rest of Europe, which is far closer than the United States is to the Middle East and far closer to Iran. I do not like that the United States potentially was put in a position where we had no other opportunity but to say yes. I don't like that. And I hope that that's not the case. Because if it is, if in fact Israel knew damn well this entire time that their goal, their objective was to draw the United States into this conflict, then I believe that we need to seriously discuss our ongoing relationship with that country. And I mean that. Not because I despise Israel, not because I hate Israel or I want them wiped off the map, but you don't handle situations like that with your allies. You don't force your allies into international conflict. You don't start something knowing that you can't finish it with the hope and the prayer that this other group that supports you comes behind and cleans up the job. That is not a situation that I want to be put in as an American by our so-called greatest ally. Now, again, if this was all happening behind the scenes, if Trump and Netanyahu were on the same page, this is how this was going to play out, then fine. Then that concern I am admonished of, and I can move on from that point. But that's not immediately clear this morning. Now, obviously, these discussions go on at a very, very, very high level. What the truth of the situation remains to be seen. I'm not sure that we'll ever know exactly what some of the behind-the-scenes workings of this whole thing was. But if Israel got into this conflict, if Israel decided 2 weeks ago that they were going to start bombing Iranian facilities, knowing that they could not fully stop the enrichment, knowing that their ordinances that they had were not suitable to destroy these underground facilities like the one in Fordow that the United States dropped bombs on Saturday, that is a major, major problem. So now on to, was this a good idea or not? And I don't necessarily know that there's a right or wrong answer. In most cases, I like to have a right or wrong answer when discussing something, but I don't know that there's a right or wrong answer. I see and I understand both sides. You know, I hear from individuals and I see the commentary online, and I listen to enough and watch enough content to hear both sides of the argument, and it is truly a situation where I very much understand both sides. I understand those that say we've got to protect Israel, we've got to protect those in the Middle East, and we've got to, you know, make a strategic strike and get this thing over with. I get that point of view. I also understand the other side where they say this is not our problem to deal with. let countries throughout the Middle East, let Europe, let them deal with this problem that is far closer to them, and leave the United States out of it. We're sick of being the world police. The reality is the situation is said and done. I mean, I can sit here this morning and claim that this was a terrible decision, that Trump shouldn't have done this, that this was the stupidest thing he's ever done, which, by the way, many people on the right are posting on social media this morning and throughout the day yesterday. The reality is it's done. So the question is, since you can't go back in time and change it, since you don't have a time machine to change what happened, the question is, where do we go from here? Where does this situation unfold from here? And from my understanding and from what I would like to see, I would like the United States involvement to be said and done. We provided Israel with what they wanted all along, these massive, these MOPs, these bombs that Israel does not have the ability to fly, to penetrate into these Iranian nuclear facilities. We gave Israel what they want. At this point in time, unless Iran decides to attack U.S. forces, which it seems very unlikely, the United States needs to wash its hands of the situation. We did our part. Let Israel deal with the rest of it. Let them deal with the rest of this conflict. It's their problem to deal with, not ours. We did our part. I'm done. That's where I genuinely fall on. What do we do now? Right? Where do we go from here? Because I can't go back in time. You can't go back in time and change it. I do not want the United States drawn in to another conflict. And that, of course, is bringing the discussion of regime change, which is a very interesting discussion that we'll get into here in a minute. But I do want to play a clip from you from CBS's Face the Nation yesterday. Marco Rubio was on with Margaret Brennan and a very interesting back and forth exchange in which Rubio just kind of blows the whole media narrative right out of the water. So Marco Rubio, put this aside for a second. Marco Rubio has done a phenomenal job as Secretary of State. He is absolutely putting himself in a very precarious position to potentially be the presidential nominee, I believe, in 2028. Here's Marco Rubio on CBS yesterday.
Are you saying there that the United States did not see intelligence that the Supreme Leader had ordered weaponization?
That's irrelevant. I think that question being asked on the media, that's an irrelevant question.
No, they have everything they need to build a weapon. That is the key point in U.S. intelligence assessments. You know
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Yes, it was.
No, it's
that
not.
The political decision had not been made.
Well, I know, well, I know that better than you know that, and I know that that's not the case.
But you I'm asking you whether the order was
about.
Given.
And the people who say that, it doesn't matter if the order was given. They have everything they need to build nuclear weapons. Why would you bury things in a mountain 300 feet under the ground?
Right.
Why would you bury six? Why do they have 60% enriched uranium? You don't need 60% enriched uranium. The only countries in the world that have uranium at 60% are countries that have nuclear weapons.
Right.
Because they can quickly make it 90. They have all the elements. They have. Why do they have a space program? Is Iran going to go to the moon? No. They're trying to build an ICBM.
No, but
so
that's
they can
a question.
One day put
that's
a
question. That's a question of intent. And you know, in the intelligence assessment, that it was that Iran wanted to be a threshold state.
How do you know what the intelligence assessment
leverage.
Says?
I'm talking
you know
about the public March
says?
Assessment, and that's why I was asking you if you know something
well,
more
that,
from
but
March.
But that's also
if
an accurate representation
given.
Of it. That's an accurate representation.
But I've got to stop this for a second. Margaret, she's talking to the freaking Secretary of State. She is trying to explain to him what intelligence is needed and what needs to be done. He's the guy with the information. Margaret Brennan in CBS News is not the determining factor of whether the United States carries out a military operation. Right? This whole back and forth exchange is just going to show you the disdain that the media has for this administration. Rubio can't even get a word out at edgewise, and he makes the point. I know this better than you. I'm the one, in some cases, calling the shots. What the hell do you know? You're a talking head anchor on CBS. You're talking to the Secretary of State. Let him speak.
Presentation of it. That's not how intelligence is read. That's not how intelligence is used. Here's what the whole world knows. Forget about intelligence. What the IAEA knows. They are enriching uranium well beyond anything you need for,
yes.
for a civil nuclear program. So why would you enrich uranium at 60%? Right. If you don't intend to one day use it to take it to 90 and build a weapon. Right. Why are you developing ICBMs? Why do you have 8,000 short-range missiles and 2,000 to 3,000 long mid-range missiles that you continue to develop? Why do you do all these things? They
Understood.
Have everything they need for a nuclear weapon. They okay. have the delivery mechanisms. They have the enrichment capability. They have the highly enriched uranium that is stored.
Yes.
That's all we need to see.
Right. Well,
especially
and that,
in
so
the hands
the
of a regime that's already involved in terrorism and proxies and all kinds of things around. They are the source of all
yes.
instability in the Middle East.
Yes, and no one's disputing that. I'm not doing that here. And they were censured at the IAEA for that enrichment
oh, wow.
and for violating
oh, wow.
their
They were censured by the International Atomic Agency. Now, I'm sure the Ayatollah is shaking in his boots over that censure. We talked about that 2 weeks ago and how it was useless and didn't mean anything. Oh, wow. They were censured by the International Atomic Agency. I'm sure they're going to stop now. President Trump threatening to blow them off the map wasn't enough to stop them. But a censure from the IAE is definitely going to do it.
Proliferation agreements. I was simply asking if we had intelligence that there was an order to weaponize, because you said weaponization ambitions.
Well, we have intelligence that they have everything they need to build a nuclear weapon, and that's more than enough.
Okay.
So almost 2.5 minutes with the Secretary of State, and she just wants to argue with him the entire time. There's no doubt about it that long-term goals, long-term objectives, as Secretary of State Marco Rubio points out, is for them to enrich uranium to a point in which they can build a nuclear weapon. I love his thing of why do they have a space program? They're not trying to fly to the freaking moon. They're trying to build an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile. That's what they're trying to do. Anybody that claims otherwise is a moron, right? Iran is not trying to put their flag on the moon. They're not trying to go to Mars like Elon Musk. They're trying to build ICBMs. They're trying to build other programs, whether it's ICBM or Tomahawk, ballistic missiles, whatever, so they can load nuclear payload onto it. That point is very clear and obvious. So there's to me, not much discussion about that. They obviously want to do that. They've made it very clear that that's what they want to do. I made the point earlier, you heard it echoed by Marco Rubio. You don't build a facility in the middle of a mountain, 300 feet underground, to build a nuclear reactor to power a city. You don't do that unless you're, of course, trying to enrich it past the point of using it in a commercial enterprise like a nuclear weapon, right? That's the case there. So that was Marco Rubio on CBS battling back against fake news and their ridiculous narratives. And so we're going to end with this regime change. This is where I think the discussion kind of falls off. President Trump posted this yesterday on his Truth Social. It's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change? MIGA, make Iran great again. This is where I completely break ranks with President Trump. The idea that the United States needs to be involved in more regime change in the Middle East is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. We have got case study after case study after case study over the last 25 years of the United States trying to effect regime change in other countries, specifically those in the Middle East, that has never worked out in the best interests of the United States. It always ends up being an unmitigated freaking disaster. Now, Lindsey Graham jumped on this bandwagon yesterday. He is all in favor of some regime change in the Middle East. These war hawks in Washington, D.C. love the idea of the United States having boots on the ground and effecting regime change. I don't know what the president was thinking with that post. I don't know what his intentions were in publishing that yesterday. I'm hopeful that he walks that back and is not serious about it, because that to me is a terrible idea. I think that is a disastrous idea for Trump, because you know for a fact what regime change is. It will mean boots on the ground and another 15 to 20 year war with men and women of the United States Armed Forces being slaughtered throughout the Middle East. That's what regime change will be. right? What is the definition of insanity? It is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And that is exactly what calling for regime change is. It is insanity. Our track record, the U.S. military is really good at dropping bombs and killing bad guys. The U.S. military is really bad at forcing regime change. We have got example after example of that being the case. I think the president's posts yesterday about this, I don't know what's going on there, not in favor of it at all. You talk about tarnishing a legacy. You talk about doing something that your base is not in support of. Regime change in Iran is absolutely at the top of that list. You can't claim that you're Make America Great Again, America First, and also be trying to affect regime change in the Middle East. Got some comments on regime change coming in on our live chat this morning. This time it will work. Totally kidding. That's the liberal mindset. No regime change. It doesn't work. Let countries work out their own leadership. I agree. I don't know where this is coming from. And again, I go back to my original commentary. I don't want the Iranian government, the Ayatollah, to have nukes. But I also do not trust the United States to not get into a war. And that is genuinely where I stand and, well, actually where I sit this morning. This discussion about regime change is scary is not the right word to use for it, but it is very, very concerning. So this morning, the Iranian government is threatening the United States, saying that the U.S. started this, but the Iranian government will end up winning in the long term. There's obviously no evidence of that. Their missile capabilities have been completely obliterated by Israel over the last week and a half. Their air force is non-existent. Their navy is also non-existent. They're running out of options. President Trump wants them to come to the table, and they should. There's no question about it that they should if they're smart. Now, I don't believe that they're necessarily smart because they've had 60 plus days now to come to the negotiating table, but I can only imagine that the clock is ticking pretty quickly over in Iran this morning. The Ayatollah, the supreme leader, has only got probably a couple of days left before he's eventually going to have to give up the ghost on this whole thing. There's no venue left. There's no avenue left. The United States or the Russian government is saying how they're going to step in and help the Iranian government, and the Putin is calling for the conflict to be de-escalated. Meanwhile, he's been waging war with Ukraine for 3 years now. So there's obviously a lot of moving pieces and parts to this. Discussions of Iran trying to close the Strait of Hormuz, that's not going to work. They don't have the ability to do that. The United Nations, the sham one-world government that they are, has of course come out and said that the United States should not have acted the way that they did. The UN is another one-world government sham leftist organization that is, you know, does exactly what they claim they're going to do. They want to unite all nations. They want one big government that controls the entire world. They don't want people to have freedom. The UN is a complete and total joke, and the representatives to the UN across the world condemning the United States are a bunch of clowns. So that's where we stand this morning. It was an interesting weekend. President Donald Trump, as of this morning, is set to be meeting with his security team. There is some more higher alerts in the United States, discussions about how Joe Biden let in millions of individuals under his 4 years in the Oval Office, that there could be Iranian sleeper cells that are currently in the process of mobilizing or setting up in the United States. So high alert is being set out in some major U.S. cities. All of that happening this morning as we continue to watch this situation unfold. I want to check real quick. I did just get an email from the White House on the schedule for today to see exactly what is going to be going on. It looks like the president is set to meet with his national security team at 1 o'clock this afternoon. No White House press briefing is scheduled. I'm curious if we're going to see or hear anything from the president today obviously, we'll keep a very close eye on that and the continued impacts of all of this as we watch this situation continue to unfold. Stick with us right here. If you're not following the show on social media, encourage you to do so. X is a great place to keep up to date. Outside of our live show here weekday mornings at 7 a.m., you can follow me on X at Nicholas M. Craig, the Nick Craig Show on Facebook as well. A great way to keep up to date with news outside of the show. Once again, thanks to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Thanks for joining us on this very busy News Monday, live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and of course, 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.